Hi, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Peter Llewellyn. I run the services at medcomsnetworking.com. So, information, services, resources, activities for people who work in and around the global community of people who work in and around medical communications, medical education, medical publishing, and the associated businesses. And a shout out to people who are interested in joining our business. We provide a lot of information at First Medcom's job specifically for those of you who want to know more about being a medical writer or account manager and whatever. We produce a lot of video content, and you'll find more than 500 videos now over at networkpharma.tv. So lots to go and have a look at. At the moment, I'm having a bit of fun. I'm talking to people around the world who have been working in medcoms. I'm just asking them for 10 minutes or so just to chat about their personal journeys. Today, I'm absolutely delighted to have Steve, and Steve's over in Melbourne at the moment in Australia. So, Steve, tell us a little bit about your personal journey. Start at the beginning. How did you get, what were you doing, and how did you get into medcoms? That's where interesting starts.
Okay, thanks, Peter. So I got into med comms almost 13 years ago now, and I was living over in the UK, in Oxford, and like many a person who's spent quite a lot of time in the academic environment, doing postdocs and all that kind of stuff. I came across an alternative career possibility of medical communications towards the end of my postdoc in Oxford. And that happened as well by attending some of your Network Pharma careers events that you had been running for 2 or 3 years, I think, at that point. So I got active in that, went to a few of those careers events, got connections with recruiters. I did a bunch of writing tests in 2010, quite a few different agencies, and eventually I became a medical writer. Got finally cracked it. At Oxford Pharmacogenesis, after doing about five or six different writing tests, I think. So started out as a medical writer, doing a lot of publications work at the Barnes, Oxford Pharmacogenesis, and the Tubney Barnes. Some people say the traditional home of our company, and spent, I suppose, the typical kind of pathway of going from a writer, senior medical writer, comms consultant, became obviously pretty good at my job, in publications. I suppose was the main type of work I did when I was over in the UK was publications. I spent a little bit of time in our London office, around about 2016/17, then I eventually decided to that it was time to return to Australia. So I was in Oxford as a visiting postdoc, if you like, from another part of the world, because Oxford's full of people like that. I ended up being living in Oxford after for 10 years when originally I thought I would be there for maybe just 2 or 3. So I made the decision to return to Australia, and as part of that, I ended up well, the company sort of invited me to consider or think about whether there was a business case for there to be an Oxford Pharmacogenesis office in Australia. And so before I left the UK, the last sort of 6 months or so, before I left, I was developing a business plan to set up Oxford Pharmacogenesis in Australia. And so I returned to Australia middle of 2017. Settled back into life in Australia after a decade of not living here, And the start of 2018, we opened up the Melbourne office of Oxford Farm Genesis. Started out as myself with another writer soon after, and we sort of gradually built up a team, explored the environment out here for doing Medcoms. And here we are today, 5 years later of the Melbourne office of Oxford Farm Genesis. We've just celebrated our fifth birthday.
Right. Happy birthday. Yeah. Just let me go
Thanks.
back a stage. There's a couple of questions in there I wanted just to explore a little bit. Firstly, moving from academia into Oxford Farm Genesis, into medical writing, can you think back to that stage? What was sort of attracting you, and what was, say a little bit, were you wanting to leave academia? Was that what was driving you? And what were you finding in medical writing that suited you better? Or did you just, I don't know, see medical writing as an attractive option to go into? What was the tension in there in terms of wanting to leave academia and come into the commercial business? Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I suppose I was maybe not massively ambitious when I was in academia. I tended to just be the sort of person who likes to stay in one place and sometimes take a while to think about changing, doing something different. So for a long time, I just stayed in academia, was comfortable being a postdoc and enjoying living in another country. So I didn't really, have any major things I didn't like about being in academia, but I think I probably knew that I was not going to be running my own lab in the long term, and I wasn't going to be a lecturer, and I wasn't going to be applying for my own funding. I think I knew that inside.
Okay,
I'd
so it wasn't
considered.
so much that something was driving you out. It was just a sort of a natural a thing, and you got, I guess your mind was opening up a little bit. You saw the careers events, you came along, you started to discover there was something different out there, and sort of got
That's
attracted into
right.
the business.
I thought about, going into industry itself, maybe doing, so I was a medicinal chemist. I thought about being a industry chemist and maybe doing some drug discovery chemistry in one of the companies, one of the pharma companies. But I wasn't motivated enough to make that happen really either. And it was Medcoms turned up, your events turned up, Peter. That was just a sort of convenient way to explore different career opportunities, and I suppose at the time Medcom seemed quite appealing.
And the story isn't unusual. I mean, people still have a little bit of a habit of dropping into Medcoms when they discover it. It's still a little bit of an invisible business despite everything that we're doing. People find it and then discover that there is quite an exciting career there. So
That's
you've got
right.
into medical writing, which is great. Cool. And just go ahead a little bit. What I'm intrigued about is the move from the UK to Australia. I mean, practically, I guess it's just nice that a company like Oxford Pharmacogenesis can be open to that and can support you. But just trying to, can you explain a little bit, what the differences are? I mean, you had to put your business case together, so you've thought about this quite a bit. What's the differences between doing medcoms over somewhere like Australia versus somewhere like UK? Can you sort of compare and contrast that a little bit?
Well, it is quite different, I suppose. It ultimately depends on where you think most of your clients are gonna come from. When making this comparison. So, if you're in Europe or the US, then that's medcoms is that's kind of where all the global all the big
The
biggest
corporate offices
pharmaceutical
are, yeah.
companies, all the big companies are operating their global operations are run in Europe and the US. So unsurprisingly, that's where most of the budgets available for Medcoms is there. And particularly the publications work. global publications plans that are all run out of Europe or the US. So enter Australia. You can either think, well, where do we think our clients are going to come from? Are we going to try and get Australian clients? Well, maybe we should think about it. What sort of projects are we likely to be able to do for Australian clients? And how much budget are they going to have compared to European clients? And you kind of have to weigh up all those things. And so it turns out there's not a lot of publications going on with Australian based clients.
Right.
There's the odd review article, or sometimes there might be a local study or a regional study or a subgroup analysis of a study, including patients in Australia. Might be lucky to stumble across one of those occasionally, or an encore abstract in a poster, but that's kind of about the limitation of publications work you can get out here, in our experience. The budgets may be a bit different as well compared to what we're used to in Europe. So it became clear fairly early on that that might be a challenging way
Challenge.
to have
Yeah.
sustainable business out here. So we found the other types of work where there are definitely more opportunities is local medical
Right.
education, where, so taking the global assets and repurposing them, and a lot of that sort of, in digital formats these days, podcasts, pre-recorded videos, things like that. So there's a bit of work there, and we did some of that work in our early days. We've since then, we've managed to tap into different publication markets outside of Australia, because, as explained before, Australia's tough to build a publications writing agency for, based on the traditional sort of model of publication planning support that we're used to. But there's work from in Japan, for example.
Right.
Japan's an exciting market, which we've managed to build a bit of business around Japan. And the West Coast of the US is another. We have a
All
few
right, okay.
clients out there. So from there, we've been able to serve those markets, and that's kind of really now what's helped us to be a successful office is working serving those clients more so than local Australian clients.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, it becomes a case that, you happen to be based in Australia, but you're obviously working at a regional type level. And the other
That's
question I
right.
thought was worth maybe just asking you, if you can tell me, in a company like Oxford Pharmacogenesis, with offices around the world, basically, and you're, as we're discussing, it's a regional office that you're running rather than an Australian office, as it were. I'm also intrigued a little bit. I mean, presumably there's some practical advantages to Oxford Pharmacogenesis having people in different parts of the world working in different time zones. Do you end up supporting each other a little bit, and I don't know, doing some work overnight that the UK wants done or something like that? Does that work out in practice as well in a company like Oxford Pharmacogenesis?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was kind of also, I suppose, the part of the original business plan that we could also help deliver for our global clients,
Right.
supporting the teams based back in the UK or in the US. Supporting those teams with resource out here by where we would help them to deliver their busy publications accounts, and we have access to a new talent pool of writers that we can recruit and develop out here to help grow the resource for us to make the whole global company main still be successful. And we've done a bit of that still, in that we certainly did quite a lot of that in the background in the first 2, 3 years. We've haven't needed to do as much of that. But there's also, like you said, the we're also here and able to support our global colleagues where they have like a meeting, they've got a congress, for example, in the region that we can support activities around that congress without having them having to fly people all the way from the UK. And we've had a few instances where we've been able to provide that support as well.
All right, cool. And the I mean, it seems from where I'm sitting over here in Oxford that there's quite a lively community over sort of Australia, New Zealand, that sort of region, which has grown over the last few years and has become more lively. A number of the agencies have moved in, like yourselves, and set up offices and so on. Just tell us, just briefly, just say a few words about the Asia Pacific Medcoms network that has its roots in a little nonsense that I used to do a few years ago when I used to have the Zoom meetings with medical writers from New Zealand, and then it was taken over by Amanda, and you got involved. So just a little bit of just what you're doing within that group, because I think that's a nice thing to talk about as well, is the fact that you're supporting that sort of network and that community of people in that part of the world. Just say a few words about how that's working.
Sure. I became involved in the Asia Pacific. What we kind of rebranded a bit this year to give ourselves a bit more of an identity. And so we're calling ourselves the Asia Pacific Medcoms Network. And we're just a community of professionals, freelancers, working in medcoms, around our region. As you said, we kind of have had our roots, coming from, the New Zealand group. And we've just sort of progressed it a bit to make it a bit more of a regional thing. And we get together, once a quarter, and we have a range of meeting, get a speaker, give a talk about something interesting in the field, relevant in the field. I suppose it's often around publications theme, but we're definitely open to broadening out the sort of topics that we cover. So we just like to give opportunities for people in the region a different platform for them to present and help to educate the community out here and
Essentially,
just
it's a
encourage
once a quarter Zoom meeting. I think you do it
once a
every quarter. It's
quarter
an
Zoom
online meeting, so
meeting.
yeah. But anybody
Yeah,
who's
that's
invited
right.
to join, basically, who's got an
That's
interest in.
right. Yep. So we have a mailing list. We have a LinkedIn page. You can look us up on LinkedIn, Asia Pacific Medcoms Network. So you can get in touch with us that way. It's just it's really just a community. It's informal. We depending on how many people we get at our meetings, we have some breakout sessions for half an hour just for you to get a chances to meet some new people. And earlier this year when we had our first meeting under our new identity of Asia Pacific Medcoms Network, and we developed a new logo to go with that, we had about 50 people actually at our
All
meeting in
right.
March. We were really pleased about, had a great turnout, and we have people from we have quite a few people from Australia and New Zealand, but also quite a decent turnout from Southeast Asia, from a few people from a couple from Singapore, from China, from Japan. So we are starting to get that real Asia Pacific recognition.
So, yeah, and getting a real bit of community going there, which is great, absolutely great. Okay, Look, so look, it's great listening to you talking, and it seems a long time ago since we met in Oxford. So a lot's happened since then. So
So,
congratulations and well done on your fifth
thank
birthday, and
you.
obviously look forward to the next 5 years and so on. I'm gonna draw a line there. This is just an opportunity to hear a little bit about your story, and we've done that. That's great. You've done well, and it's lovely to hear about the success of the networking groups and so on and so forth. So if I can, on that note, just say thanks very much for sharing your story with us, and take care. Okay, take care. Bye.
And thanks.